Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This guy has done as well as anybody out there following this story about TV rights, and that is the outstanding Dennis Dodd. Dennis, great to talk with you again.
Steve, how are you? Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, appreciate it, Dennis. Thanks for your time. So the TV deal now with the Big Ten is done. In the end, what does this do to the overall landscape as you see it?
Oh, it influences everything. I mean, the thing is, we knew it was coming. We knew the money. We didn't know the particulars, who was going to have the game, but we knew it was coming, and we could project the impact right down to more realignment, to playoff expansion structure, to playoff revenue now, maybe. I think this clears the way for the next discussion for the commissioners to discuss all that, the playoff stuff. It's now a reality that they're going to have to carve out, I think, and a lot of people think, some of this for the players. And I think the conference that does it first, if it is done that way, whether it's conference by conference, is going to have a huge advantage just in recruiting. I mean, think about if the Big Ten does revenue sharing, whatever the number is. Hey, you come here, you get at. I've already written about that. They could get around Title IX because the money's distributed by the conference office, which does not get federal funds. So they could give it just to the revenue sports if they chose, whatever they're choosing. So I think that's on the way. The games themselves are going to be great. I think it's a win for the consumer when you think about broadcast television. Everybody's talking about broadcast television is dying. No, you're going to have to go to CBS, NBC, and Fox to see most of these games. Actually, I think Big Ten Network has the most of any of the platforms in this. I think they have 50 games per year, something like that.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. The best games are going to be on network television where everybody can see them. They can be at every bar, every frat house, everywhere. And I think that was a big piece of this because this, as Sean McManus told me, the chairman of CBS Sports, that is unprecedented.
The fact, too, I think there are only a couple of mild surprises in here. One was the fact that if they're going to do any streaming, it's Peacock.
CBS, yeah.
Yeah, CBS will do Paramount, but it sounds like they're going to like simulcast with Paramount.
Yeah, they didn't go all in. I know Kevin Warren wanted a streaming piece. And maybe this is the most prudent road right now. Peacock will get 8 exclusive games a
year.
And so, the Big Ten can manipulate those games to, drive people to them. I mean, I think you remember in 1994 when ESPN2 launched and everybody lost their minds because they couldn't see Duke Carolina. That was a brilliant marketing move because it launched ESPN2. You had to get it. Same thing maybe there. Paramount Plus on the CBS platform is going to simulcast their game, so maybe that helps when you're on your phone, stuff like that. But I think it's coming. I think the streaming revolution in sports broadcasting is coming. This was a little step.
And then the other one is that Fox gets 4 of the 7 Big Ten football championship games. CBS gets 2, NBC gets 1. They made sure they tossed a bone to the other two partners.
I'm told that was, by industry sources, that was huge, that the expectation was, because Fox already had the primary rights, what we're reading right now is second and third tier rights. Fox already had everything. They owned the Big Ten Network. They were both a partner and a bidder in this.
Yeah.
That, again, is unprecedented. But when that came out, I had industry people tell me they were shocked that Fox would give up any of those championship games. And I think it's, again, great for the networks, great for the consumer. It's like it's a Super Bowl setup, where one of the networks gets a Super Bowl every year. CBS gets 2, Fox gets 4, NBC gets 1. And they can all outdo each other with, the production they put on them. Again, so I think the consumer benefits from that effect.
Revenue, by the way, this doesn't include the college football playoff money. It doesn't include the bowl games. Doesn't include the NCAA tournament. I'm not even sure if the numbers they put out today include BTN, to be honest about it. So, I mean, the number is actually way higher when you add that in, because when the Big Ten gives out Yeah, you hear like Michigan's distribution number. That's for everything. It's not that's not just the TV number.
Yeah, that's BTN has a separate 990 tax return.
Yes,
but on this deal, BTN was included. So I'm just assuming it includes BTN. There was no language to that effect that it wasn't. But again, writers have been media have been reporting since the beginning there was 80 to 100 million. And if you go 1.2 billion, which I've reported, divided by 16, that's 75 million. You add in tournament and bowl revenue, you easily get to 80 million.
Yeah.
Now, per school, all of this is backloaded.
Yes.
Because it'll be small in the beginning and big at the end. And it's just think of an AAV, think of an average annual value. And that's what this is. And that's the best way to refer to it. But the money is significant. I mean, they're going to be, I'm being conservative here. The SEC and Big Ten are going to be $30 million annually per school ahead of the next best competitor. And I frankly think it's probably more like 40 at the end of the day because Pac-12, Big 12 haven't gotten done yet.
And not only haven't gotten done, but now they're vulnerable because no Texas, no Oklahoma, no USC, UCLA. So you're right, the gap could be great because ESPN can sit there and say, hey, look, we still want to carry you, but we want to do it more under our terms and not just your terms.
Yeah, because they're not involved in this, you know, again, that's unprecedented. They had a 40-year relationship with ESPN and the Big Ten. They can now be a quote-unquote kingmaker between, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big 12. What do they want? What is best for them? Is it a 16-team Big 12 with four Pac-12? Is it like they stand now, 10 and 12? You know, how does ESPN make the most money? ESPN needs the fourth window. They don't have the fourth window, mm-hmm. which is the late night game starts basically, just think of after 10 o'clock Eastern. They would have that with the Pac-12, but they'd also have that in the Big 12. The Big 12, you know, poach teams from them. That's going to be fascinating to watch because just like ESPN orchestrated Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC. They are going to orchestrate what those two conferences look like in the future.
No question. I'll get to the college football playoff expansion in a moment. But the financial gap that you and I are talking about of 30 to 40 million of SEC Big Ten versus others, what do you think that can do competitively long term in college football?
Well, the competitive imbalance is there. I sound like I'm mimicking Nick Saban. You know, he ought to know better than anybody else. He created a large piece of it, and the SEC did. So that's there. It's going to be harder to beat those guys. Is there any reason they should play the American or the Sun Belt? Those are questions to be answered. I think competitively, you've got those other conferences have to just hope for access in the playoff. I think they'll get it. I don't think we're ready for that breakaway from the 131. Yeah. But I think the next discussion to be had is over playoff expansion and playoff revenue. Then we'll know. Because as I quoted an administrator in that main news story saying it's not even worth talking about anymore. It's not a Power 5. It's a Power 2.
Yeah.
And so if anybody expects those eight conferences now we're talking about below SEC and Big Ten to get a full playoff share in the future, I think they're kidding themselves. I mean, that'll be the first thing.
No, Mike Oresko said, look, I'm dropping the Power 6 thing. I mean, he did do
that. Yeah, about that.
Yeah. And that tells you just what the mentality is of everybody across the board. Notre Dame at some point will get, you know, they'll have a deal negotiated with somebody as to what they're going to do. Whether it's with NBC or whether they decide and look at the landscape and say we need a conference. How important is access to the college football playoff for Notre Dame as a priority?
Well, let me go back one step. I think if most people's conclusion right now that Notre Dame's going to stay independent.
Yeah.
I don't think any of this would happen today or yesterday.
That's right.
Pushes them into a conference.
I agree.
Because they're going to be accounted for in playoff expansion. We already knew that from the 12 mock.
Right. And that,
you know, they were going to get.
Right. And that's why I asked the question the way I did. That priority is the chip that keeps them from a conference.
Yeah. Yeah. They have access. So they're going to have access, whether it's 12, certainly if it's 16. I mean, 16, you know, that's a great story to do. Go back right now and see, just take how many times that Notre Dame finished in the top 16 of the AP poll. There's your answer about their access. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that's a pretty big percentage. They would probably get, you know, pretty good access in 16, and certainly with 12, where it was modeled that they would never get a first-round bye, but in exchange for that would not have to play, or obviously doesn't have to play a conference championship game. And they were fine with that. They didn't want to play, you know, they would have to win four games in any given year, or was it three? I think it's three to get to the championship. Three games in any given year, whether they were ranked 1 or 15.
Right.
And that was their trade-off to get access.
All right, exactly. With the expansion of the college football playoff, a lot, there's been concern that, you know, when you're not on ESPN, you don't get talked about. That's the NHL argument for years. If there is an expansion from 12 or to 16, in all likelihood, that means multiple media partners. Does that then take away the fact, hey, look, they don't talk about you, but it doesn't matter. We still get in.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, in a way, a win for ESPN, and then they can keep their powder dry for bidding on the playoff.
Yes.
I think what you're right. We're resigned to the fact that it's not going to be a single carrier anymore. I mean, just look what happened today. Look at the money that was made from that. Frankly, college football is the only entity I can think of at that level that doesn't have multiple partners. Baseball has it. Hockey has it. Mm-hmm. NFL has it. NBA has it for the championship. So that's going to happen. The other part of that, I should remind, I was told yesterday ESPN is not necessarily out of the Big Ten deal as we're speaking about it right now. I think Kevin Warren still wants to expand. I think he would. I had a person call me and ask desperately, had I heard about Cal, Oregon, Stanford, and Washington? And I said, not since I wrote it late last month. That was yesterday. Apparently that's going around. So that's not dead yet. And guess who would pick that up if the Big Ten wanted to go to 20 teams and go to whole hog for July 1st of next year when this contract starts? ESPN at a discounted rate, because the rights holders have already determined they're not worth, you know, what are we talking about, $80 million per year.
Right.
Maybe ESPN does a separate deal and just pays for those games. I mean, I don't know. I'm just speculating. At a lower rate.
Well, yeah, because right now, if you went to them and it said, let's just use the basic number of 80, we need $320 million more per year because we're adding four schools. Nobody's going to do that, but at a different rate, which would be the Rutgers rate until 2027, right? Because Rutgers doesn't get a full cut till 2027 because they borrowed so much money. I mean, now you start doing it that way, now you can jerry-rig your deal, right?
Yeah, and you can sell. You've got more inventory. You're monopolizing the market, which this whole discussion is about. That you're coast to coast. You've got a West Wing for your conference, along with USC and UCLA, and you can sell to your president. And I think this is Kevin Warren's play. I think ultimately you can go to your president and say, we have a chance to assemble the best athletic and academic conference that has ever been. If we do this, you know, are you in? That's what I think he's trying to do. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think that's the attempt.
And by the way, on the academic side, all four are AEU schools.
Yep.
So, you know, and that plays big with the Big Ten presidents and chancellors.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Stanford, Cal.
Yep.
You know, in no way would you figure Cal would be part of it.
I know.
But, you know, the three best brands left that are quote unquote available are Oregon, Washington, and then to a lesser degree, Stanford. Cal is almost a throw-in academically.
Right.
You know, we can talk about Clemson, Florida State, and Miami, but again, they're bound by a 14-year contract or 14 years left in it, and there's no signs that look like they're going to leave that.
Well, I've said to people many times, Dennis, on the show, if the grantor rights were so easy to get out, why are Texas and Oklahoma still in the Big 12 this year, and why are USC and UCLA waiting till 24?
Well, because they're not easy to get out. And in particular, the Big 12, I'm intimately involved, not involved. I've seen the grant of rights.
Yeah.
It's a huge legal document. I know, I've read it. I know how it was constructed. It was made, I guess, what the verb is, but it was made in the state of Delaware, where, just for example, it makes it harder for Texas to get out, for lack of a better term.
Right.
Because they have sovereign immunity in Texas. So the conference is protected. And then when they did this last summer, remember, there's 4 years left. So it was just a discussion, was it going to be 3 or 2 or 1? Worst case scenario, you play all 4 years out. SEC still gets rich. Texas and Oklahoma still gets rich. And you're still there.
Right, exactly. Because the Big 12 number tops out at about $40 million per school at the end.
About 44.
Yeah, 44. Okay. 44 at the end. I know at one point the conference commissioners, Swarbrick, the presidents and so forth were talking about, okay, what do we do with the future of college football playoff? These are all initial discussions. What are you seeing out of that?
Well, the Big Ten deal now clears the way for that discussion.
Yeah.
Expansion. Again, what they're going to get for expansion. Who their partner's going to be. Mark Keenum said, I forget who had this story, but it was a pretty significant story this year. I think it was Heather Dinich at ESPN. Mark Keenum, the chair of the board of managers, the presidents who run the CFP, casually said, I'd like to have something done by next summer. Whoa. We thought we were going till 26.
Yeah.
And Mark Keenum is the president of Mississippi State, by the way.
Yes.
He's the chair of the president. And so I think that's significant. I think that was a message being sent to the commissioners. If you bring us something, we'll do it. I was told in that January 10th meeting that in Indianapolis, remember that, the day of the championship game where they shot it down?
Yep.
I was told that the presidents came in there thinking, well, all we have to do is rubber stamp this. And there were so many issues going into that meeting. We found out with the alliance, with the three conferences that voted against it, they weren't even informed on that stuff. I'm not blaming them. I'm just telling you what happened. Now this thing's had time to breathe, play out. You can do the pros and cons of 12 or 16. You know what money's involved, with the SEC and Big Ten. You can put it out the bid, and you've got those presidents, if they're academically inclined, they have to be conscientious to the athlete and all this. That's why I think revenue sharing is coming. I think you're going to have multi-year health insurance beyond eligibility.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pac-12 has that.
Yep.
But I think that's a no-brainer because you can afford it.
This is great, Dennis. Thanks so much for the time, especially on a day like this. I really appreciate it.
Steve, it's a pleasure. Thank you.